Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Yo, what up?
What's up?
What's up? What's popping? Oh, hello, everyone. Sorry about that, but Brother B is on the move. You know, doing daddy duty and all that good stuff. But once again, what up, everybody? Big Red and Brother B.
Is you on the move?
Yeah. Well, I'm coming and broken up. I'm coming and messed up a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm sorry.
No, you sound good now.
Okay, I sound good now? Sound sexy? All right.
Sound sexy.
Yes. What up, everybody? Big Red, Brother B. Another episode of The Menu. How's everything going with you, Big Red?
I'm good. Everything's okay. Chilling. Sunday night. You know, my favorite show coming on. Check that out.
True. You know, I'm so behind on shows, especially Walking Dead. So don't beat me.
When the last time you watched it?
I missed the season before.
We're on season 9 now. Season 8?
No, I haven't seen the season before the season that's going on right now.
Right, so season 8. So
you're
on season 9 now.
Yeah. I haven't seen that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm behind.
Well, you're not too far behind. You got people that are like 3 and 4 episodes behind, like way behind.
Well, true. Well, you know, we here doing the damn thing. Once again, this is Big Red and Brother B, The Menu. Guest calling number is 347-324-3395. My apologies, everyone. Kind of on the move right now. So if I come in sounding a little shaky, I said I am, making some moves. But, okay. There's something I want to get off my chest, and it kind of goes along the topic that we're doing tonight. And I really wonder, because I guess there's no way to, you know, to beat around the bush, but I just wonder why black folk really seem to think that somebody is supposed to help them do something or help them with their cause or, you know, support them in certain areas because of our plight in this country or what we had to go through or endure for basically 500 and something odd years. Like, why are we still looking for a hand or help? Like, why?
Because they feel that somebody owes them. A lot of black people feel, not a lot, I'm not going to say a lot. Black people feel that I'm owed something. Somebody owes me. And especially a lot of the younger generation, black, they feel that they're owed something. Like, owe me something. And I'm going to get it. And you know what? I'm going to sit back and wait for you to get it. I want you to give it to me instead of going out and get it on your own. That's the best way I can.
You got to do something. To this generation, you got to do something to feel like somebody owe you something. That's number one. It's like what Snoop said, everybody got a cup, but they ain't chipped in. Now, to our ancestors and, you know, to the elders that have been through the civil rights movement and all this and that, yeah, they they've been chipped in. They've made the sacrifices. But to some of these younger cats out there, this newer generation, like, yo, what have you done? What did you do? What you going to do? Even to some people in our generation, you know what I'm saying? Like, what do you think about that?
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, yeah, like you got to, you know, once again, just like with the, you know, the past election that just passed, it's just like, all right, you know, a lot of young people are on this, like, oh, voting doesn't matter. I'm going to vote for what? What am I voting for? But see, that's the problem. You're saying, what are you voting for? But you're voting because that's your right. It's your God-given right. And at the end of the day, you know, you have people that have died. You have people that before you, way before you. And guess what? Let's not even talk about people way before. Let's just talk about people within the last couple of weeks that have died because they wanted that right to vote, or they wanted to vote, or they're trying to vote. Let's not even talk about 19, you know, back in days where it was a struggle. Let's talk about the last couple of weeks where we were hearing about so many things happening, and it all had to do around the election time. And as you can see, after the election, now you don't hear nothing. Not saying that it's not still happening, but now you don't hear anything.
All right, well, let me tell you a thing that's, that I have an issue with, besides the fact of, like, because, see, once again, I, as a black person, as a black man, I'm kind of getting tired of hearing the same old, oh, you know, black this, black that, and we got to this, and that. Listen, if we already know what we got to do, let's just get it done. We don't have to remind everybody else in the world that we're black and we have issues, and we need to take the issues that we have with whether whites or anybody else. We don't have to keep saying that, because I don't see Indian people or Asian people or everybody else jumping up saying, oh, well, you know, we have a problem with such and such, and we this and we that. No, they're not doing that. But every time I turn around, you have a situation where it's, okay, I'm going to say it, Black Lives Matter, or it's black this or black that, some coalition of the blackness, whatever it is, whatever the case may be, it's always something where somebody wants to remind people. Yeah, yeah. It's just like you want to remind people of, oh, I'm black and this is what we're going through and this is what we have to fight against. All right, listen, we already know that. We already know that. But the whole thing is, what are you really doing about it? Besides just putting the black in front of it and then expecting somebody to just pay attention because you put the black in front of it? You think white people care? Let me tell you something. I don't know how many people really know about it, but a couple of white people are responsible for starting the NAACP. Yeah. A lot of these movements and organizations, you know what I'm saying? White people are involved. They've been getting involved. But what is your level of involvement?
Right.
You know, without having to throw, like, a big black on it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
this is... Go ahead.
I'll say, okay. With that, it's like, okay. I guess they feel that, okay, we haven't... We're not, okay, I guess I'll tell you one thing, some black people and some of these organizations feel that, you know what, we haven't been seen or heard enough. Like, people know about us, people know about our organization, but, you know, we want to be noticed. We want to be noticed for who we are as in human beings, and not just what they, you know, like what the media puts out there. I guess, you know, I'm, you know, kind of playing both ends of the city. I guess that's how they see, like, all right, I want, you know, we want to be seen. We want to be heard as a people. Like, we're tired of not being heard.
But what do we do? Okay, my thing is this. We're tired of not being heard. We're tired of not being seen. Okay, fine. So what do we give the world to see besides basketball players, football players, you know, just athletes and a whole bunch of rappers and R&B? What else are we giving them besides entertainment? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you do have parents.
No. But I'm saying, I'm coming from another end. I'm kind of, you know what I'm saying, I'm doing a devil's advocate. What else? Because the majority of the world sees us as entertainers and athletes.
Right.
Not scientists, not Nobel Peace Prize winners, not judges, doctors, lawyers, you know, politicians. I mean, listen, I want to congratulate all the African-Americans that put in their work and secured spots, whether it was in the judiciary area or it was Senate. You know, I know there's a recount and stuff going on in Florida, but you know what? It's getting to the point where I don't want to say I want to congratulate all African-Americans. I just want to say I want to congratulate you for making it. You see what I'm saying? Like, why does it have to be like, you got to put why does the black part have to be involved?
Well,
is that supposed to make us more relevant?
Well, okay. Yeah, well, you know, I kind of see where you're going with that because I think it was a couple of months back, one of those award show, somebody, Golden Globes, and I seen an article the next day about the said where they were like, well, why is it that certain people, like, why that person has to be, the first African American to win a Golden Globe, or the first, why does it have to be like that? Why can't it just be, okay, this person won that, and that's it? Why it has to be, the first African American to win a Golden Globe award? So, I mean, you know, I don't know. The only thing I can say is that, like you want to be acknowledged more than just being, you know, the worst. And I think maybe that's where it comes from because we're always being looked at as the worst. Remember, you know, they say black is bad luck. Black is not good. Oh, you see a black cat running away. You know, it's like, you know, if we want to be known for good, you know, for good things too, besides just, okay, he's black, or he must be bad, or he must be a bad person. No, it ain't about that.
But you know what? It gets to a point where you have to not only raise your own personal standards, but you also have to raise your conscious level. And I'm going to say it. Who gives a fuck about what you think? Who gives a fuck about what anybody else thinks about us? We need to do what we need to do for ourselves. We need to stop concerning ourselves. The world thinks about us. You know why? Because when we concern ourselves with what the world thinks about us, we do what the world dictates. And we're not followers, we're leaders. So do your own goddamn thing. But see, I see it posted all the time. We went from kings and queens to thugs, hoes, and bitches. Why?
Yep.
Because we're no longer in. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, I think I went through a dead zone.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm driving right now. Sorry about that, everybody. Why do we have to keep reminding people of our blackness? That's, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what? I remember somebody was kind of mocking Bill Cosby for saying it, and I think somebody else said it too. But apparently one time Bill Cosby said, "I'm not black, I'm Bill Cosby." But yet, Bill Cosby was big on fighting for civil rights. He never forgot that he was black. But what he said was so true. Like, yeah, I'm not black. Like, you want to categorize me as black, but I'm Bill Cosby. This is who I am, because it's bigger than being black. It's bigger than just being a color. Like, you don't see Brad Pitt going out to, "Hi, I'm Brad Pitt, and I'm white." You don't see anybody else announcing their whiteness. No, they're just known for what they do. Brad Pitt, he's an actor. They're actors. These people are actors. This is what they do. It has nothing to do with their color.
When you see, Right, you know, when you still say, oh, black actor, so and so, so it's like, well, why is it gotta be black? Why is it gotta be, you know?
Why can't it just be an actor? Listen, this the whole thing with the voting, once again, all the little polls that were being closed and they were trying to, you know, disenfranchise people and all this and that. Listen, if we already know what's going on, why keep playing into the BS? Why? If we already know what's going on, why keep playing into the BS, man? Why? We've been in this country for how long? And some of us are still running around helpless? Are still running around thinking somebody needs to fix it? Oh, I love it when someone says, oh, well, we don't control anything. Whose fault is that? That we don't control anything. Like, listen, I can say, saying what I was saying about
they won't let us control anything.
Listen. But you know what I find interesting? So, and I got to take it there. So you can sit there and say they won't let you control anything, but you go shake your ass somewhere and be like, oh, I got to make my money. This is the only way or option I got to make my money. Or some cats want to go hit the corners and be like, oh, well, this is the only way I can make my money or make some money. Don't act like you ain't got options. Then that's the thing that pisses me off. Like, there are other options. There are other
means.
There are other ways. Don't keep blank.
Right.
Don't just keep going for the usual crap.
But guess what?
But people want to be, I'm
right.
a boss. You're boss.
Right. There's other
real
options.
Bosses don't say that they bosses. They just do what they do.
There's other options, but what if you don't, this is the problem. What if you haven't been educated to go after those options? What if you're not told that there are other options out there? What if you're in an environment where there is no other option?
You know what? And that's the problem, Red. We don't take the opportunity nor the time to put, like, all right, you know what I find interesting? And I'm going to just go out there. I'm going to just put it all out there because, like I said, we having a talk. Last week was, you know, on the white folk. This week we're going to talk about us. Listen, I've seen kids go out there on the basketball court from sun up to sundown. I've seen people dance their ass off in the middle of the street or at little show practice to get ready for, you know, this is their thing. This is what they do. So we really can't make an excuse when people want to sit there and say, oh, well, like, I hear what you're saying about, oh, they're not educated, but they know something. Because sometimes, you know what I'm saying, see, the whole thing about being educated is knowing something else to do. Has nothing else to do with, it doesn't have anything to do with just book smart or just reading certain stuff, but educating yourself with other information on how to be a part or do other things.
Right.
You can sit there and watch that guy. You can sit there and watch 50 Cent, Jay-Z, and all the rest of them flip their money, but you still want to go shake your ass, or you still want to go run the streets, and you want to call yourself a boss.
Right.
Come on now. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you're right about that, but then I'll say, like, for society now, it's become, like people have, just like you said, we have become lazy. We have become lazy, not all of us, but it's lazy. Because, okay, if you think about it, just like you said, if you come to me and you're asking me a question about the light, you don't even have to do that anymore, because that's what Google is for. You can Google whatever is that you want. You can Google directions. You can Google anything.
Cats too busy on Instagram.
Huh?
Cats too busy on Instagram. People are too busy showing their ass, titties, and everything else, and dick pics on Instagram. You see where the frustration comes from? It's like, are the excuses? Like, why? Why are we always making excuses, man?
Exactly.
Why are we always making excuses? Listen, somebody, and I have to say it, somebody white sat back, I guess, right, and thought about Google. They said, well, we're going to do this. And look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody Indian thought about this and then all of a sudden made it happen. There's no freaking excuses anymore. Donald Trump is president after years ago talking all the crap that he was talking about Republicans and everybody else, this, that, and this man, this charlatan, he is the president of the United States. There is no goddamn
he could do it. Exactly.
There's
so
no goddamn excuse.
It's the reason why you care. Exactly. Exactly. But
come on, Jay-Z, I remember Jay-Z said in a song, I can sell water to a whale. Listen, you want a boss, you want to be a boss, you got to have a boss mentality. And that's a dude who can sit there and say, oh, I'll sell water to a whale. That's a boss mentality.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
You can't make no excuses anymore. You can't keep making excuses for why you can't do this and why you can't do that. And, oh, I need a hug. And, oh, I need a – we need this. We need a, you can't make excuses anymore, man.
Right. Because they, you know, once again, you know, our people, like I say all the time, our people are you know, we are our own worst enemies sometimes. And that's and sometimes I look at certain things, especially like on social media, and I'm looking, I'm like you can't be serious. Like, and then you wonder why you get talked about a certain way, and you wonder why certain things are happening to you, like, you know, in terms of, once again, we're going back to the election once again. You know, a lot of these young people didn't feel that they need to get out there and vote because they're saying, oh, well, what's going to change? That's the point. You have to vote so this way we can get people out of somewhere so something can change. Well, oh, I'm just one person. Okay. You one person might make it, you know, you might make that difference. And like I said, if you get a couple of people together, yeah, it don't have to be just you.
This is true.
It don't have to be just you. It's a like a couple of people make, you know, just because you, I mean, you feel that, oh, well, my vote is not. But it will count. You may not think it's going to count, but it will.
But see,
because
that's
if
the whole
you
thing.
And all your other people, if you and all your other people get together and go out there, well, it will make a difference. It will count.
You know, I mean, let me ask something. Do you see where I'm coming from, though? Like, I really have to ask, like, do you see, like, to me, it's not so much about a point, but do you see where I'm coming from? Like in terms of, the, like, being a little frustrated?
Yeah, of course. Every day, yeah. I believe I feel that frustration every day.
Because my whole thing is, you, like, all the talent being wasted, all the creativity being wasted, because a lot of people just want to make excuses. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Like, why do you keep making excuses, man?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why does everything have to be, you know, oh, because I can't do this or I can't do that or they won't allow it to happen. Who's that? What do you mean they won't allow it to happen? Why are you? Listen, you know what I find so interesting? When, cause nobody can stop you from doing what you need to do when you really need to do it.
Exactly.
So, once again,
yeah.
The purpose of the reason of make excuses, I don't get it. So, you know, I love it when people want to tell me, you know, I just got a text message. So I love when people tell me that, you know, about calming down and this, that, and the third. No, I don't want to calm down. You know why I don't want to calm down? I don't want to calm down. Because you know what? I don't want another Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Anton Sterling. I don't want none. I don't want no more of that. I don't. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Like, why? You know, somebody has to be angry or hostile or upset or passionate about something. But you guess what? It only happens when it's your kid. It only happens when it's in your background. That's when it only happens. Nobody has anything else to say when it they don't have anything to say because it's not their kid. It's not their situation, so they don't worry about it. But as soon as it happens to them, then it's like, you know, oh, wow, I need people to rally on my side. No. No, man.
Well,
no.
Yeah, exactly. Part about it, but
like we have to still, like the excuse, all that has to stop. It has to stop. All these excuses, all these everything has to stop, man. Like put your pants up. Like I love it when people want to talk about how you know, oh well, Obama didn't do X, Y, and Z for us. Really? Wait a minute, what was Obama supposed to do for you?
Exactly. Personally.
That you couldn't, yeah, what was he supposed to do for you that you couldn't do for yourself?
That reparation check, they thought that he gonna get us, you know, that reparations and, you know, get us, you know. You know what I think? You know what I think a lot of black people probably thought that Obama was gonna do? Like, he gonna stick it to the white man.
Listen. You can't stick it to the white man if you tried. But first of all, our focus shouldn't even be sticking it to the white man. Listen, let me tell you something. That's why white people have some of them have problems with us, because they busy thinking about black people sticking it to them if they got in a position. And then you got black people concerned about forget all that. Stop. Like, why? Who cares? Like, I'm like, who cares? Listen, let me tell
you
something.
It's like a slap in the face. It's like,
listen,
they
like,
feel that,
like,
you know,
said,
Obama was supposed to be like that slap in the face. Like, nah, look, we got a white
president. Yeah, but listen, you know what? But instead what we did, a lot of us dropped the ball. Because once again, we were looking for the handout. We were looking for the help. No, what happened was you were supposed to go, we got that black president and yourself looked better. You're supposed to put in that work.
Yep.
So when white people want to talk about all black, when certain people want to talk about how blacks are lazy, you got to really think about it. It sadly is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's not lazy on certain things, but the work ethic, because there's certain things you'll work for, and certain things that you won't. See, it's all
right.
About placing, like where you're placing that word lazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? When I talk about picking cotton or certain things, like there is a laziness there. And when is it going to stop?
The media messed that up. You're doing all right.
Well, we don't need
social
to be.
Media.
We don't.
No.
Listen, we don't need to. We don't need to keep focusing on, like, what everybody else is doing or what everybody else is saying. Listen, my attitude after media. Why are we even troubling ourselves with the media? Their media. Why are we focusing on that? We need to stop that. Because the more we focus on what they're doing and what they're saying, it's like we become that narrative. Carly, you're on the
right.
With the menu. What's up?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Uh-oh.
Hello, how are you?
What's up, Miss Jerry?
Okay, I only caught a little part of this, but since we are talking about, you know, black people and how we view things on life, what I notice is that I think we're willing to accept mediocrity with everything. You know, when our kids go to school, we clap that they pass. We don't encourage them to become Vals and Sals. You know, just as long as they bring that grade home where they're passing, we're okay with it. And then they get into a mentality where we're just doing just enough to get by. I see it a lot. We also have that victim mentality. Like you were saying, you know, we can't do this because they did this to us. Okay, my parents, my family, descendants of slaves, but that doesn't stop me from achieving. We just have to move on. We have to understand that if you're waiting for somebody to hand you something, you're going to be waiting forever. You got to find a way to get it yourself. So, you know, my community, my people, my family, my friends, I see a lot of mediocrity. We're just willing to, you know, if we can make our bills, get paid, we're okay. We're not focused on becoming and becoming millionaires and leaving a legacy for our families coming behind us. We're just trying to get enough to survive from day to day. And that shouldn't even be our goal.
I agree with you 100%.
Right.
I agree with you. That, you know what's the ass kicker? What you said was we have become, you know, complacent with mediocrity. Like, that's a good, like, that's good. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mediocrity is not good. That's really, that's not good. I mean, yo, as a 44-year-old black man, looking where we have come from to where we're at now, we are really nowhere.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I say it all
we
the time.
We are nowhere. But once again, I love it when cats is running around talking about, I'm a boss, I'm a this, I'm a... You know what was so disturbing to me? Last night I was walking, the other night I was walking from somewhere, and I saw, and I'm going to say it how it, I saw it. I saw an Asian cop and a white cop with six black teenagers, or black young men in cuffs, walking them into the tombs. Mm-hmm. You know why that bothered me so much? Because I heard them like making jokes and laughing, like this shit is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were doing the just thing by being locked up and being escorted into a cage
because that's what's being put out there.
No, you ain't no boss. You ain't a boss. That's not a boss move. I don't understand how we get shit so twisted. How you make going to jail being a boss move or making a couple of thousand dollars? Oh, I'm a boss. Well, yeah, you're a boss. You're whatever. You're a runner. Because there's people making money off of you.
Mm-hmm.
So you ain't no boss. Everybody's focused on being a leader, but you're following someone else's lead.
I think, you know, it's almost like you're a big fish in a small pond, but you don't realize that there are oceans out there. You know, everybody is, when you're running and stuff like that, you're pulling in $1,000. If you're pulling in $1,000, somebody's making millions. So why are
exactly.
you thinking small? I'm not encouraging the behavior, but I'm just saying, why think small when you can think big? You have the biggest risk, and you're willing to take it for a couple of pennies.
But you know what's so funny? Now, these, you know, well, let's talk about these millennials, because, yeah, you know, that's, you know, most of them, you know, they have that mentality as well. You have some older people that have the mentality, but we'll just talk about them. They watch all these movies about how, you know, about those things where that person is flipping it and making more than that, just like you said, that $1,000, and they're doing other things with it, or they, you know, they're doing bigger things with it, but then
mm-hmm.
you still just on that little, that small level. Like, didn't you learn anything? It's like, you know, this generation, they done broke all the 10 of Biggie's crack commandments. Like, they done broke all of them. They broke every last one of them 10 crack commandments.
Yeah. Yeah, you're
I'm
right.
Serious.
You
they
absolutely
broke
right.
them all. So this is like, it's like, if you going to, you know, like I said, I ain't condoning this stuff, but, you know,
yeah,
if you want to do it, like, do it the right, if you want to do it the right way.
Yeah, that was the best. That was the best. That was the best.
Like, y'all done broke all
your bottle.
I owe
your bottle red.
I was going to say, when you were telling your story, the thing that bothered me, you said there was a white police officer and an Asian police officer, and they're arresting six black youth. Why aren't our young men being represented on the police force? Why aren't they policing their own neighborhoods? We complain
right.
that we're getting shot up and they don't understand our neighborhoods, but we're not willing to take a job where we can protect our people.
Right, exactly.
Exactly, exactly.
You know what's so funny? You know what's so, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know what's so
no,
funny?
No,
I had a friend of mine, and it's a guy that we had grew up with when we went to high school. And he was out there in the drug game, crack game, and he became a cop, and my friend, they were trying to go, like, they went to our old high school to talk to some of the students to, you know, to get them, just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, once again, here we go again, if you want to change, you have to be that change.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my friend, he said that, you know, a lot of these young kids were like, nah, I don't want to be no cop, and nah, I don't want to do this. And I said, he said they would, you know, him and the guy would get kind of frustrated. I said, but y'all can't get frustrated, because guess what? There's a reason behind that, because they probably got parents at home that tell them, oh, no, you don't need to be no cop. You see what they do to y'all.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing that for you, this, that, and other. But that's the problem. There used to be cops in the neighborhood that you knew or you grew up with, or they knew your parents, or they knew your grandparent, they knew somebody. That's the
mm-hmm.
problem. You don't have anybody in the neighborhood that looks like us and are for us. They getting all these people from out of state, upstate, that ain't never seen black people or any other people in their life or just like them. And then, like I said, they go by what they hear, and then they automatically get on the streets and think, yeah, he's a thug, he's a thug, he's a thug, and not knowing that that person may not be that, but you only going by what you hear.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, first of all, they don't know our culture, but we expect them to care about us more than we care about ourselves. You know,
mm-hmm.
we expect them to come in there and take a bullet because we want to fight each other in the streets. I don't care who you are. Why would you take a bullet for somebody else when they're fighting each other? It just doesn't make any sense. And as far as, like, the community policing, I know police officers, their salaries, their stability and things like that, honestly, it is a good job. It is a good job to have and to retire from. So if you think it economic-wise, I'm just even thinking about the people that I know, the perks that they get just because they have a badge. It's ridiculous. It's no
but you know
way
what?
That you can sit there. Mm-hmm. What?
No, I'm listening. No, finish, please.
Oh, no. I was going to say, we're frowning our nose at good jobs that are stable, where we can go into our own community, police them, protect them, and we're picking up jobs like, who wants to stand on a corner and push drugs when it's 20 below zero? You know,
right.
It's something about that mentality is wrong. But
well, check this
I
out.
Also,
no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I said I also get when we have outsiders coming to our neighborhood, because if they're not used to dealing with black people, the only images they have are the ones on TV. And guess what? Those are us shooting up, doing drugs, fighting. The image of black people on TV is so negative that you're in the neighborhood, you know your family, you know your friends, you know your neighborhood. But if all I had to look at was the TV, I would be scared of my own people.
Well, right, now check this out.
I'm scared of them now.
That's real talk right there. Now, but check this out. Where are the black cops? Where are the black men and women in uniform?
They don't.
Well,
they
why
don't
are they not out
them.
On the streets? Why are they not out on the streets? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
but you know, because there's a thing between of wanting to help, but then there's duty. And see,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that the powers that be want these officers out there in these areas pushing some type of agenda, encouraging
mm-hmm.
these kids off the street. Because I guess
mm-hmm.
it's like this. If they're not on the street, then how do we make
you
a rep?
You don't need a job.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how do we keep our job? Remember, crime pays.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
somebody got to get paid off of it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm
that's number one. And number two, real quick, to add on to what you were saying earlier, that whole thing, I would be scared. If all I had was TV to see black people, yeah, I'd be scared too. But you know what? You got to look at some of these actors out here that actually take these roles.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't remember seeing Denzel in anything negative until Training Day.
That's right.
Yep, exactly.
I don't remember seeing him in anything
that
was
into it. And then he went for nothing else.
Mm-hmm. It was, to me, that was the highest slap in the face. Every black person, every black actor, R&B, everybody should have stood up and said something.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was wrong. That was totally wrong. How are you going to give him, like, listen, he was excellent at Malcolm X, but they didn't want to give it to him
exactly.
because it was Spike Lee. because it was Spike Lee. He was good
and
in Glory.
Exactly.
They didn't want to give him nothing for Glory. Now, all of a sudden, you want to give him for something for playing a crooked cop?
A crooked cop.
And he got beaten, Glory. I would think they would like that too.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
but you know what I'm saying? It gets to a point where we have to stop being silent on certain things as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Even
and it goes back to what you said, Miss Cherry. The whole thing is with mediocrity. 100% right.
Complacent.
I think we are our worst enemies. I mean, in all fairness, people can say what they want, but if we do have actors and actresses and entertainers that are willing to go ahead and perpetuate these stereotypes, we're pushing it. They say they want you to sit there and do this, and you do this, and then the young people are looking, and they're like, some of them don't have the guidance. They don't have, you know, my son is 19. He looks around, and a lot of times what you're seeing on TV, they really believe it's reality. They think it's reality. They don't think it's necessarily the reality from their particular area, but they think that's what's going on around them.
Because they're disconnected. These young people, you said your son is 19, my 20-year-old, they're disconnected. Mm-hmm. Like, I have the 20-year-old and 24-year-old. And it's like the younger ones that, I guess the later, I'll say it right this way. The later 90 babies, they are disconnected. The earlier 90 babies, they got us. They're like in between, but they're a little more. They're a little more set in reality. But these later 90 kids, they are totally disconnected from reality life. They're disconnected from it and desensitized because certain things that's happening, it don't even freaking bother them.
No, they think
it don't bother them.
They're singing about it with the music.
They're
watching it on TV. They think it's their life. They don't, even though they may not be living that particular life, it's not, if they were to see it on the street, it wouldn't strike them as being weird. We were talking about, like, the shootings and things that happened all across the country. When it first started, everybody was taken back and appalled. Now we're like, okay, what's going to happen this week? Because something's getting ready to go down. We're all desensitized.
But, yo, check this out. So why is it that we're always, like, prime example. So why are we always looked at as thugs and animals and all this and that? But, yo, look at this cat that just went into a bar and shot up and killed, like, what, 11, 12 people? Look at this cat that just went into a synagogue and shot up a bunch of Jewish people. You know what I'm saying? Look, and they're not, and they're not black. So every black person needs to sit at this. They didn't label him a thug. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes you have to just stop being silent on certain things. Stop making excuses and pull your pants up, man up, and put that SOH on your chest and handle your business. Just come out and say it and stop being a punk about it. Because that's just what it is. All these cats from the Vegas shooter to Timothy McVeigh to hundreds of others, yo, they're doing all of this violence, but nobody's calling them terrorists. Nobody's calling them thugs. Nobody's calling them anything any type of
bad people. They're not bad people.
Yeah, they're not bad people. There's some great Americans. That dude that ran over that white lady during the protest, he's a great American. Okay.
But my problem is we waste too much energy trying to get equality with how white people are viewed from us. Like what you're just saying, you know, why are we calling in this? Why are we concerned about that? We should be addressing the fact that we have black people that are committing crimes. What are we going to do to get them straight? I don't really care what Johnny's doing in the corner. I want to worry about what's going on in my community. What is he doing? What are we doing to address that with ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
And right now we spend way too much energy. I don't know if Bill Cosby did it, but I'll give an example. We are more concerned that Bill Cosby is not being treated the same way as other white rapists or whatever. Why are we wasting all that energy on him as opposed to saying, you know what, Bill, you're wrong. If you did it, you're wrong. We don't care what they're getting. We're addressing it with you because we want you to get straight. And I think that's our mentality is always like trying to compare. We're trying to say, well, you didn't do him like that, so why are you doing us? We should be saying, why is he acting like that anyway? Don't put yourself
either
in a
that,
predicament where you give your power away to somebody else to decide your destiny.
Either that, or we need to be raising our kids, just like everybody grooming their kids to be doctors, lawyers, judges,
mm-hmm.
politicians.
Yes.
We need to take a page out of their book.
Yeah.
Do something else with yourself other than want to throw a basketball or a football or dance or sing or something. Do something else.
We think it's a big deal when our kids go to medical school. We all, you know, if they go to medical school, if they go to law school, everybody is up in arms like, wow, that's so great. Why should it be great? Why shouldn't that not just be like a regular standard?
Exactly.
It is in other cultures. It is. Certain people are known for science. Other people are known for math. Why are we, when our kids do something that is a little bit more than what we're used to, we act like it's extra. We act like we need to roll out the red carpet. We need to demand
because
that as normalcy.
We're not entertaining. We're doing something else other than entertaining. That's
mm-hmm.
why it's such a big thing. Oh, my God, he's going to law school. Yeah, because we're not on the other side of the chair. You know what I'm saying? We're used to, but it's like black people are used to being the ones in cuffs or the ones that need defense or defending.
Yeah.
Instead, we're on the other side of it. That's why it's such a big deal when it's done. But you're right, it should be a big deal. We should be concerned about certain stuff. We need to, listen, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm going to say it. With certain things that we just need to distance ourselves from to get ourselves right. We can't be concerned with whatever everybody else is doing because what are we doing?
When we look over and we see another culture behaving in a certain way and we think they're getting over with it, our reaction is not to stop doing it. We say, well, he did it and he got away with it. Why when we do it, we get like this? So we just continue on it and we complain. But that really should not be our focus. That really should not be our focus. That's why we're burning so much energy on things that just don't matter. It doesn't matter
that
Bill Cosby got treated this way and this one got treated that way. If I was a woman that he attacked, I could care less if he was white, black, or green. I would want him in jail the same way. But we pour so much energy on saying because he's black. It should be more like if he,
But on the flip side of that, we know that there was more to that. That's why I don't really touch the Bill Cosby thing like that, because we know we really know there was way more to that. Because if we wanted to go there, we can sit there and say that what's his name? What's the dude name?
Weinstein
was allowed on the low to get all his paperwork together, to shift all his business and do everything
Kavanaugh.
That he needed to do, and then turn around and say, all right, I'm turning myself in. Turn yourself in, make bail, and then all of a sudden now everything has just been swept under the rug.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Trust me, there's people sitting back watching it, but at the same time, there's certain things that we condemn, and there's certain things that we shouldn't, because nobody's still saying anything about R. Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if he wanted to go there. Because the white people, they're making money off of white R. Kelly. They're making money off of white R. Kelly.
When the scandal broke, they tried to break him. It's our people that stood up and supported him, despite him
and
us knowing that he has all these girls in his basement and he's raping children. We were the ones still buying
albums. But yet, we support him, but we don't support Bill Cosby, the person who donated millions of dollars to HSBCUs, the person that was in the forefront when it came down to, civil rights, because he was out there. I forgot, black people got mad because he said, oh, listen, you need to stop having babies, you need to pull your damn pants up, and you need to do X, Y, and Z. That's when black people said, oh, we don't like you, Bill.
I think they went after him when he decided that he was going to buy NBC, right? That's when all this started.
Of course.
Okay. So when he decided to to purchase a major news station or a major channel station, all of a sudden all this surfaced. But the bottom line is, if he did it, regardless of all the good that he's done, he deserves
he deserves the time.
And we definitely should. And I think he kind of mentioned that he did do some of the things, but at the time he didn't see it as wrong. So
check this out real quick. What people do in the privacy of his home or their home or hotel room is none of our goddamn business. But if there's a disclosure agreement, or not really looking at, because see, Andrea Constance, who wanted to come out and say, what did that disgusting white lady say about comparing her plight to Martin Luther King? Oh my gosh, she's disgusted me with that. You can't compare your plight and what you went through to Martin Luther King, because you made $3.5 million off of it, and you signed an agreement, which means either A, you sold out yourself, and every other woman who really has been raped out there, and you were crying wolf, or what? Because like I said, there's women out there that got raped, and they ain't making no money. They ain't make $3.5 million. She made that money. So that's why I question the validity of everything that went down compared to all the other women that were screaming rape and saying what happened. Of all, she was the one who made $3.5 million off the Me Too, everything else.
I think.
But they don't want to talk about that.
I don't think the payoff is what matters, because I think some of them felt like it's, I mean, let's be for real. It's a difference when you get into a situation with someone that has a lot of money. You have the opportunity to get paid for what somebody, you're mentioning rape. You walk down the street, Joe Schmo rapes you, you're not going to get any money for it. But if you're walking down the street and say P. Diddy grabs you, oh, yeah, he's still going to get a charge, but you're going to look to recover on that also. So it's a matter of who actually does the crime. Now, does that mean the crime didn't happen? No. They both are guilty.
But it doesn't make it any better.
Well, we know that
see,
he was willing
I don't
to pay.
Listen.
We know he was willing
to
pay to keep some quiet.
Maybe he was, listen, like I said, we don't know what happened between them. We're just going off of stories from someone else and interpretations of this, that, and the third. I don't know what really happened, and you guess what? I don't really care. All I know is when Bill Cosby tried to make his first run to buy NBC, what happened? His son popped up
dead. That's
when
it all came out. But I
and his son popped up dead. Then a couple of years later, he tried to get back up and do something with Netflix and just attack all of a sudden. What they say? Well, listen, if he go out there and smack a cop, he'll just get hit with something, and that's that. But if we put sexual allegations, then he's destroyed. And
so
that's exactly what they did.
As a male, if I were to say, oh, you raped me, and if you don't pay me $3 million, if you don't pay me $80, I'm going to go tell, what would you say to me? I didn't do it, and you can go tell whoever you want, right?
You know what? It depends. Be honest with you.
What?
No, wait a minute. I'm not saying no, but I said that to be honest
no,
with
I'm
you.
No, I'm saying. But
no, there really is no but, because we know sexual allegations, especially when it comes to men. And I don't, like I said, I don't want to twist what's going on with the topic, but the whole thing is sexual allegations will scar you for life.
I know.
You're done. Like there's no coming back. You can come back from killing someone. You can come back from doing whatever. Certain things you can't come back from. Two things you can't come back from: rape and being a pedophile. You're not coming back from that.
But if you can,
you're not.
There is
society. Society would. You're done in society's eyes, especially when it comes to sexual assault or it comes to rape. Simple and plain.
If you can prove that your accuser has no basis, like for instance, you have never seen me before, and I tell you that you did this, and if you don't pay me any hush money, I'm going to go to news media. You're going to look at me and say, do
all
whatever
right.
you want, because it's going to come
all
out.
Right, so check
so
this
if
out.
So if you pay me hush money, why?
Why? Because maybe I don't want you to leak out the contents of what we had going on, because, you know,
you
after
don't know
I
me.
So, after, wait, after the so-called incident, then you came to my house the week after that, We kept in contact. So how do you keep in contact with your abuser? This is not a Stockholm syndrome type situation. So once again, logically, what are we really looking at here? Because
we're looking at
what I envision when it comes to rape, somebody gets raped, they scream rape, and somebody has to go beat somebody's ass, or somebody has to be arrested. But this chick claims that she was sex or she was drugged, and then next thing you know, but she's keep going back to his house, and she keeps meeting up with him, and he's giving her money. And maybe one day he just said, you know, I'm going to stop giving you money. And she said, oh, maybe you better. You see what I'm saying? Like I said, I wasn't there. I don't know her, and I don't know Bill Cosby. But what it looks like is the black man, because we all know, and let's not bite our tongues on it. If Bill Cosby was allowed to buy NBC, NBC, the faces on NBC would be a lot of black and a lot of Puerto Ricans.
Don't you know? Don't you know what NBC? You don't know what NBC stands for?
I don't know, but go ahead.
NBC stands for no black comedies. That's what it stands for. No black comedies.
I thought you were going to say something else.
No. It stands for no black comedies because you know what, that's the thing. Remember, remember the Cosby Show was on NBC, then A Different World was on there, Fresh Prince, everything. You know, it was on there, but that was really basically the only black comedies that was on there. It was nobody else black that was on NBC like that.
And they were all positive shows. They were all positive.
Exactly.
And somebody said, nah, we got to stop this because these niggas is going. And I'm
going
to say, yeah, I said it. These niggas
going
is going
crazy.
To school. These niggas is doing all types of stuff. Oh, we got to slow them down.
Right?
We got to slow them down.
Oh, they live in a mansion.
Sorry,
Bill. They live in a mansion. Now they want to be lawyers
and shit. Oh, no, we got to stop that. We
got
to stop that.
They got it together.
But that's the same thing.
They're not stabbing each other.
No.
But my thing is this. That's the same thing. And I'm going to put that's the same thing with hip-hop. Oh, hip-hop was positive. Remember, it was a lot of party records, this, that, and other. Oh, no, they said, no. You know what? They're getting educated too much. Oh, they're learning about Malcolm X. Oh, they're learning about this. They're learning. Oh, no. You know what?
We got less than 60 seconds. Miss Cherry, Big Red. Oh, this has been beautiful. We gotta chop it up like this again. Shout out to the Absolute Truth crew. Hope all is well. Everybody have a great week. God bless. Stay safe, and may the force be with you. And on that note, another episode in the can. We out.
Have a good night.
All right.
Later. All right. Later.